from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Malik is that guy. You know, same, almost like Pat on the other side. He plays inside backer, both of them. He plays outside backer in our base package. He plays defensive end also in our sub packages. He plays every special team. Very valuable player. And I see him playing all those positions during the season, just as it comes up.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday talking about Malik Harrison out of Ohio State. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. And versatility is now a key for Malik Harrison, drafted along with Patrick Queen, Vinny, to be the inside linebackers for many years to come for the Ravens. Patrick Queen now in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. And Malik Harrison has, you know, changed roles. Mm-hmm. We talk about compared him to Patrick McCary from an offensive standpoint. So as we look at Malik Harrison at this stage of his career, you weren't really sold on him being an inside linebacker. But the way he has reinvented himself, I guess we should commend him for that. And he's a guy that helps them defensively.
Yeah, because like you said, he's very versatile. He can play a lot of things. And we just heard Harbs, you know, hear about all the different positions that he does play. I just think that he's kind of stiff in the hips, and he has a hard time as an inside backer covering people out of the backfield. Now, I think, when he plays outside backer, I think he does a pretty good job setting the edge and stuff. So, yeah, he gives them, he gives them versatility, and they're going to use him in positions to take advantage of what the things that he does well. And I think the things he does well is going downhill. Downhill. If he's playing inside backer, tack straight ahead. Laterally, not as good. Not as good. But moving forward and stuff at the line of scrimmage, he's fine with that.
All right, you were there yesterday, and we'll talk about the defense. Malik Harrison has a role. The number one question surrounding the D is the pass rush, lack thereof. Where's it going to come from? Jadeveon Clowney sacks are now in Carolina with the Panthers. We know that Matabike had a big year. Van Noy had a big year. Ravens led the NFL in sacks in 2023. Is it still a concern, at least based on the early pad work out at one winning drive?
I think it's a major concern because they don't have anybody that can replace Clowney. They don't. There's not a guy that looks that way. Oway looks good, but I mean, Oway always looks good at this time. Because he's got speed and those things. So, other than that, to be total, Ajabo's not ready. He's not ready. He looks kind of stiff. He can't bend the corner right now. And Tavius Robinson, still, he's not a gifted pass rusher. He's high effort guy, and he's a long strider, and he's not really a corner bender. Van Noy, he had 9 sacks last year. I mean, I'll bet you if he could give them 7, they would take it. I'm just not sold on that position, right? That Roche kid who they picked up, he's got a little something there. So, but they're going to have to stunt, twist, and they've got the Hamiltons and the Millettes and all those things. Maybe they're going to create sacks scheme-wise instead of just talent-wise.
Hour ago, we were talking to Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner, and he didn't seem overly enthused with David Ajabo as a pass rusher. All right, if he can set the edge, that's fine. But wasn't drafted to be the edge setter. He's drafted to bring double-digit sacks. How far away is that from being a reality, him helping the Ravens in that area?
Well, I mean, Bob, what we've talked about is that, you know, he's been cleared to practice, but he's not good when he practices. He's right now an average, below average pass rusher right now. I mean, he can't win because he can't win with speed, can't bend the corner. So he's a ways away. Let's just say that he's a ways away from helping them. And I mean Kansas City. He's not. It's going to be interesting to see what they do roster wise. You know, Bob, if he's where he is right now, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't cut him. So what are you going to do with him? Because he's not going to provide anything for you.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan News from the Nest, featured artist Friday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Ted Nugent, by the way, is our featured artist. Defensive line, what's your comfortability level with them a week from the preseason opener?
I think that's a huge strength for them. Because I think Matabike, he looks quick, he looks fast. And Travis Jones, I like the way he's playing. He's playing hard, he's running, he's chasing. Pierce is doing a nice job in there. Urban's doing a good job. I mean, they're all playing well inside there. And let me just say this. Their overall defense, fast. I mean, you notice how fast they are. There is not a lot of people running free against that defense. Receiver-wise, tight end-wise, there's not a lot of separation. Those guys can run, and the defensive line can run, and they chase. And they are strong and they're physical. It's a very good defense.
Let's talk about a couple of Alabama guys in the secondary. Marlon Humphrey, who has a proven track record of being really good. Jalen Armour-Davis, who was always considered to be talented enough to be premier, but injuries have prevented that from happening. So I guess sounds like, Vinny, based on the information, and for you've been there, Cordell's been there, both really looking strong and health permitting. Could be primed for a big-time 2024 season.
I would be shocked if he's not. You know, he's gotten bigger. He's thicker, which, you know, maybe that helped a lot of his pulls and tweaks and everything that's hurt him in the past. But he's making plays. He made two nice plays yesterday, you know, on deep balls. So he's moving really well. I think he's playing good, playing really good right now. So it's... knock on wood that he can stay healthy, because he'll provide good depth for them and give them more options back there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk more Ravens with Howard Balzer, bottom of the hour. Longtime NFL writer and NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. But coming up next, let's count that dough. Buy or sell, what's happening in the world of sports? A lot. But what's happening with the money heading into this weekend? Vinny and Haney, Nolan, 105.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It's the Nuge. Rock and roll in Motor City Madman. Pick a tune, we'll play it. Send your request to the Plaza Ford text line. Nolan is waiting for you. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, joining us bottom of the hour. Talking about the National Football League season, which kicked off last night, preseason opener, Hall of Fame game, Bears and Houston. Others going on in the world of sports, other things. Cleveland Orioles tonight. Kobe Mayo got BBT tonight at 6 o'clock. We're getting it all out of it. Thatcher, where's the money? By yourself.
We're not making any money today. We're actually losing. The Dow is down 787. The S&P is down 115. The NASDAQ is down 439. DraftKings, holy cow, down $3.33 to 32.16. Under Armour's down 28 cents to 636. So it's an ugly, ugly day today.
I might have to drink Keystone Ice this weekend.
Yeah.
Nolan, the way
I might have to drink box wine tonight.
That's, right. That's a sign of the apocalypse right there when Vinny's drinking that.
Yeah.
All right. Sports topics. We'll start in the NFL. Despite being extremely efficient and a winner throughout his entire NFL career, Brock Purdy still faces a good bit of criticism. After all, he does have the luxury of a ton of offensive talent around him, a great O-line, a bright offensive mind as his head coach, but people would still give him a game manager label. This was a big thing last year, the MVP race between him and Lamar. Well, George Kittle recently said that he sees an even more comfortable Brock Purdy so far in training camp, and that he's taking the reins to make it, quote, his offense. Buy or sell, Vinny, Brock Purdy will finally shed the game manager labels this year with more sustained success.
I'll kind of soft buy it. He's been raining interceptions all training camp. But the thing about it is he's going to get his $55 million too. Whatever you want to call him, he wins. You know, I mean, look at Dak Prescott. What's everybody bitching about him? You know, he can't win in the playoffs. Purdy wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, two championship games and a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you think he's a little more than a game manager, right?
Well, I do, but, you know, the naysayers, no.
Okay.
But, let's see, in Major League Baseball here, Bobby Witt, boy, he had an incredible month of July that really took his season to another level. In that month, batting .489, 7 homers, 22 RBIs, quickly bringing all of his season totals up to an MVP caliber level, maybe even more so than they already were. And in some cases, he has better numbers than your front runner for the award, Aaron Judge. The comparables between him and Gunnar Henderson at the shortstop position, they're going to continue as long as those two remain in the league. But buy or sell, Bob, Witt will finish ahead of Gunner in MVP voting this year.
Oh, I'm buying it because Kansas City's now starting to breathe down. Well, they're six games out of first, but they're, if the playoffs started today, they'd be one of the wild. Think about that. For a calendar month, and granted, you got the All-Star break in there, but 489?
Yeah.
It's one of the five highest batting averages in a single month, I believe, in the history of baseball. I mean, Rod Carew in 77 hit 480 when he hit 388. Brett, when he hit 390, hit like 480 in a month. That's slow pitch softball. He's almost hitting 500 for a month. Put it in perspective, the guy that was picked right ahead of him hit .125 in July. Not that I'm saying they draft Witt, they don't draft Gunner. It is what it is. I mean, let's not overthink this, but Bobby Witt's a stud, and we've kind of known it all along.
Back to the NFL here. Last season, Aaron Rodgers was brought into the Jets, and he brought a lot of Packers, former Packers teammates with him, one of which was wide receiver Alan Lazard. Unfortunately for him, he struggled greatly once Rodgers got injured. On the season, just 311 yards and a touchdown in 14 games. All of those career lows for him, and he even called it the most difficult season of his career. We know in that offense, Garrett Wilson, he's going to be the top dog as a receiving threat. They did sign Mike Williams as well in free agency. So Vinny, buy or sell, even with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard's days as an impact wideout have passed.
I'll buy that. I don't think he's an impact guy. You know, I mean, he didn't have any quarterback play last year. He'll have a better year this year if Aaron stays healthy the whole year. And Mike Williams, you know, who knows when he's going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Little Orioles notes here. Dean Kramer, he's going to get the start tonight after a very solid month of July for him, returning from the IL and pitching to a 3.96 ERA across five starts. Many times, though, he was the victim of poor defense, mainly his outings against the Cubs and Padres. Still, by far, his best month of the season. And it's getting to be that time of year where he traditionally starts to turn it on. A career 2.31 ERA in the month of August for Dean Kramer. Buy or sell, Bob. Dean will once again post his best ERA of the season in the month of August.
I'll buy it. I don't know if it's a 2.31 level earn run average, but he's starting to get better, as you said. Nolan's pitching tonight, as a matter of fact, against Cleveland. He doesn't need to be a stopper because the Orioles have won 4 of 5 prior to last night, but they need to be more competitive than they were on Thursday. So I will buy the Dean Kramer. I mean, he sees it. Hey, we need pitching. Well, what about me?
Right.
Go out there and show him that you belong in that rotation in the playoffs, because he would have been out in the playoffs last year, at least in the divisional round, if John Means wasn't hurt. Dean Kramer would have been pitching out of the bullpen in that series. So, yes, I'm buying it, Nolan.
And one last one here in the NFL. The league did not outlaw the quarterback push play, or the tush push, that's become famous by the Eagles here the past couple years. Instead, though, they have tweaked the rules just a little bit on formations that could directly impact the play as it's been traditionally run. Moving forward, only one player, the quarterback in this case, is permitted to be in, quote, no man's land between the line of scrimmage and the backfield. Usually, the way the Eagles have been running this, they put a couple tight ends or running backs right there on the shoulders of Jalen Hurts, and they start pushing him as soon as the ball snapped. The new rule says no more of that. Anyone in the backfield has to be fully established in the backfield where a running back would usually line up a few yards behind him. Vinny, buy or sell, this change will lower the amount of times we see the play run.
Oh, I'll soft buy it, because you can't put anybody in the A gaps next to the quarterback. So, you know, maybe now what they do, Nolan, is they motion a guy, so on the snap, you know, he's going to be there. They'll figure something out. But, you know, and maybe without Kelsey, it's not going to be as good either. By the way, tush push, one of Ted Nugent's bigger hits. It was the B-side, the Cat Scratch Fever. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk to Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, about the start of the National Football League season. What's the potential for the Bears, and are the expectations too high for the Houston Texans? We got your Olympic update coming your way as well. Funhouse Trip with Nolan before NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan. One of the top prospects in baseball, one of the Orioles' top prospects, obviously, expected to make his debut. Ravens on the practice field at 1 o'clock as they get ready for Philly a week from tonight, believe it or not. We had a game last night. Yeah, it's preseason because it got called by rain out in Kansas as the Bears took on Houston. Here to talk about that and more, longtime NFL writer. Let's welcome back to the program Howard Balzer. Howard, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Feeling good, guys. Hope you guys are doing good, too.
It's Friday. Can't complain about that, Howard. And it's payday, too, so it's even more special. But Houston versus Chicago last night. All right, outcome, you know, unless you had the over and people do bet on preseason football, congratulations there. But Chicago, 7-10 last year, added a lot, including the first pick in the draft in Caleb Williams. And then you have Houston, where there, I saw Ryan Clark on ESPN say they get to at least the AFC championship game here in 24. So what's most likely to happen? The Bears become a playoff team, or Houston gets deep into the playoffs in 24? At least on August the 2nd, that is.
Yeah, well, I would say the most likely is Houston certainly being in the playoffs. And, of course, Ryan Clark, like so many on TV, they love to deal in hyperbole. And the first question I'd ask is, are you going to bet your house on your opinion? I mean, yes, there's certainly a possibility. But anyone who can sit here on August the 2nd and say they know what's going to happen in an NFL season is obviously barking up the wrong tree. But that's what narratives are all about on these shows. But that's a good football team there, obviously. It should be a really good football team. The additions they made, the way they played last season, it's a division that I think they're going to get some challenge from Indianapolis and Jacksonville, and who knows, maybe even Tennessee, depending on the way Will Levis plays. Although, you know, it's a little unknown now whether DeAndre Hopkins will be ready for the start of the season. But, you know, there's no other team in that division you say, oh, they're, you know, they're clearly the favorite. They're going to run away with it. So they should be good. You know, the Bears, I think, you know, should be better. But, you know, who knows? I mean, talk about hyperbole. There always is for rookies. Like, everyone just expects these guys to walk on the field and, you know, and be great. And sometimes that happens. But you also can't expect that to happen. And so we'll see how Caleb Williams does. They do have some pretty good talent around him. And that's a team that, you know, won seven games last season, so it's not like they were horrible. And so I think they'll definitely be improved. And that's a very competitive division with Green Bay, the way they finished the season. You know, Minnesota, who knows, because of, you know, the quarterback situation. And obviously the Lions, you know, a team that got to the NFC Championship game last year. So I think the Bears will be improved, but it remains to be seen how much they can move up in that division.
Howard, what did you think of the Ravens yesterday?
The Ravens?
Yeah.
In terms, I don't, what do you
oh,
mean? What
I, thought, I, th- I thought I saw you there yesterday.
Oh, no. I'm in Canton, actually.
Okay.
Okay. You've got a doppelganger there, Howard Balzer, out at one winning drive.
So, all right, Howard, then let me ask you this. What did you think of the kickoff last night, the new rules?
You know, I think that it was good to see them returned, and I think we'll see a lot of that in the preseason. That was the intent of the new rule. There weren't any big returns. I think that, you know, all these teams and the special teams groups are experimenting with different things, but a lot of them may be different twists and, you know, maybe unique things that will happen eventually. I don't think a special teams coach is going to give away in the preseason. And so, you know, hopefully it does lead to those returns and a more exciting play. The big question I have, guys, is that if all of a sudden we start seeing those returns, are teams just going to say, you know what, we're not going to risk it, we're just kick it in the end zone? Because I think it was a mistake to have this rule put the ball at the 30 if it goes in the end zone, of course, instead of the 25, which has been in recent years. They considered the 35, but decided on the 30. And so that could, you know, prevent a lot of teams from, you know, from just you know, allowing some to happen. Obviously, depending on the matchup, who's the kick returner on the other end. But I'll say this, if it's near, I don't know how many people have talked about this aspect, if it's near the end of the game, and let's say you're a team, you just scored maybe to tie the game or take a one-point lead, whatever it might be, now you're kicking off with, say, less than two minutes to go, are you going to kick it and allow the other team to return it when a field goal can beat you? Or are you just going to put it in the end zone and say, hey, we'll take our chances, give them the ball on the 30? So I think that's going to be, you know, a big question for this rule. But more will be returned. We'll just have to wait and see how successful it is and how it all plays out.
Howard, you know what's funny is I was talking to Randy Brown, one of the Ravens special teams coaches, yesterday at practice, and I said, you going to watch the game tonight? And he said, absolutely. He says all the special teams coach will be wondering, you know, what teams are doing and stuff. So there was a lot of special teams coaches watching last night.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, they watched. Now, I don't know. They say, okay, yeah, they did it pretty much the way we've been practicing it. And in fact, you know, watching the Cardinals in practice these first couple of weeks when they'd have their special team session, each time the kicker, and they mixed it up, sometimes the kicker doing it, they didn't want him kicking too much, and sometimes the machine. And of course, they probably had to recalibrate that kicking machine to get the ball right around the 5-yard line, which is the optimum spot for it. And so, but the Cardinals, virtually every kick was being caught right around the 5 to the 7-yard line, and that's what we pretty much saw last night. And so again, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of difference from that or other things that teams might try because, like we said, you know, Randy can watch, but I'm sure when the Ravens play, he's not going to do some things that they've been working on that he wants other teams that they're going to be playing to see.
You know, it's going to be tough for the Chargers. I mean, with Justin Herbert, with having plantar fasciitis, I mean, he's got to wear a boot. So, you know, I mean, mentally he can be around, but he can't be dropping back and doing those things. How much will you think that's going to affect the Chargers?
Yeah, it really could. I mean, and, you know, anytime you're injured, I think there's always this feeling among, you know, outsiders that, oh, guy's injured, he'll be back in 4 weeks, 3, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden he's going to be the same that he was before. Well, we know that doesn't always work that way. And granted, for a quarterback, I mean, he doesn't run a whole lot. So as long as he gets to be pain-free and there's no, you know, no cause for concern for further injury, the injury shouldn't have that much of an effect on him. But you're still going to be a little bit rusty. And so when the season begins, you know, we see a little bit of rustiness at the beginning of the season anyway, and that's pretty much across the board. And because of only, you know, hardly any of these starters play in the preseason. You're not in pads a whole lot in practice. And so it's a little bit different when the season starts, and so you have to kind of work your way into playing real football again, which most teams haven't done since early last January, and then playoff teams a little bit later. So you hope overall it's not going to affect them too much, because obviously he's a huge part of any success that the Chargers hope to have this season.
Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Howard, last thing for you. We saw Marquise Brown here. You covered him in Arizona. Now in Kansas City, if he's at his best, what is Patrick Mahomes getting from old Hollywood here in 2024?
Oh, he'll get an awful lot. And like you said, it's not only at his – well, it is at his best, which also means injury-free. And that was a big, you know, big aspect of his 2 years with the Cardinals. And I'll never forget, you know, the 2022 season when that was the one where Kyler Murray tore his ACL late in the year, but they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, who was suspended for the first 6 games. And the offense, you know, Hollywood Brown, he was doing some good things in the first few weeks of the season. Everyone was looking forward to him being back, being there along with Hopkins when he came back from a suspension after 6 games. And then the game before that, Brown got hurt. And he wasn't available for a while. Last season, he was hurt near the end of the season. And, of course, they didn't have Murray for the first half. So he never really got a consistent chance to show what he's capable of. So if he's on the field, I think that's going to be a huge, huge aspect for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes being able to get him the ball. But he has to stay healthy. And he didn't do that the last 2 years, getting a little bit up in years. And so that's going to be the big challenge for him, I think.
Howard Balzer, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Featured Artist Friday. It's Ted Nugent around these parts. And have a great weekend. And I'm sure we'll talk to you many times over the next few weeks as preseason football's already started. And we're a little more than a month away from the kickoff of the regular season.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he is. Howard Balzer, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program, take a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Orioles and Yankees are now tied for first as we head into this weekend. And we'll talk about those Guardians with Joe Noga. Returns to the show from Cleveland.com. But could they have problems in the rotation? Old Bibee getting pushed back through the weekend. Anything to see here, or please disperse. As a matter of fact, American League East report, Orioles were the only team in the division in action last night. They lose, so they're tied for first with the Yankees. We'll get into this weekend's matchups, and we'll look at the standings as well. We're into the month of August. Joe Noga covers the Cleveland Guardians for Cleveland.com at 1:30. But let's bring Nolan in. Nolan, anything change in your world over the last hour or so?
Not that I know of. But certainly hoping for an Orioles bounce back here tonight. I mean, I don't know. You win 3 out of 4 against Toronto. You're starting to feel a little bit better, even if the level of competition maybe wasn't that strong. We all admitted that playing Cleveland this weekend is a real reality check, a team that, you know, had the best of you earlier in the year. They're one of the best, if not the best right now in the American League. So a great opportunity to see how you stack up against a playoff caliber team. If last night's any indication, well, I mean, pack it up right now and go home. But still 3 more games. Feel better about the pitching matchup tonight, Kramer versus Carrasco. So we'll see.
Yeah, Carrasco's been lit up in his last couple of starts. He gives up the long ball. His earned run average inflated almost, well, it's almost 5.7. So we'll see. If they can't break out the whipping sticks tonight, then we've got a problemo. We got time to get to the funhouse. Nolan McGraw heading into the 1 o'clock hour.
We do.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start here with Matt in Essex. Says, when it comes to the acquisition of Rodgers, fans need to remember that the Orioles staff has been very good in recent history, handling pitchers, bringing in guys from outside the organization, and getting the best out of them. There's obviously some things that they liked about him on paper. You have to give it a little more time beyond just one start.
He shows up, they hand him his jersey, they introduce him to his catcher, and go out there and try to beat the best team in the American League. Not to make excuses for him. Hopefully he'll trend in a more positive direction, because last night to say he was shaky would be an understatement.
Now, do either one of you guys know, like, when Elias is working on those kind of trades, Bob, do they ask the pitching coach or Hyder, you know, do you like this guy? What do you know about this guy?
I'm assuming there's some intel from everyone involved there. And the most important thing, I'm guessing, about Trevor Rodgers, other than the fact he's a former All-Star, just 3 years ago, and he's only, what, 26 years old? He's controllable for 2 more years, because you look ahead to next year, you've got Grayson, you've got Rodgers, you've got Eplin, you got Dean Kramer. What else you got? Because there's nothing coming through the ranks minor league-wise, which is probably becoming somewhat of a problemo for them. Povich and McDermott, yes, but homegrown pitching talent, where is it?
This one from Howard in Baltimore says, was it me or did the microphone sound like it was turned up last night? Every foul ball and hit ball off of Rodgers sounded like an explosion. This guy and Suarez should never pitch in the same game. I was horrible last night. Batters for Cleveland were practically salivating.
Yeah, it almost looked, and I'm half joking, like they had little smirks on their faces when they were stepping into the batter's box. Cleveland's on a heater, and they're having a really good year, but the Orioles are going to have to stem the tide. Guardians 3-1 against the Orioles so far this year.
Another one here, a texter says, Coby Mayo has 16 errors at AAA this year. If he and Gunner continue their antics, this might be the worst left side defense in baseball.
Well, do you want him here or don't you? Yeah, that's the question. He's coming up, but he's going to play. We already knew that he wasn't exactly Brooks Robinson or Doug DeSensei, for that matter, defensively. You got to take the good with the bad, and if that bat can play, you'll take it, or how about he just the right-handed DH? Yep. Get out there and start thumping away. Gunner's going to win a gold glove before his career is over. Right now, he's the exact opposite of that defensively. So is Arias, who already has one of those.
And one more here from Eric in Bel Air says, I seem to remember last season for the Ravens, an interception that Lamar Jackson threw near the sideline. The pass was a little high, but Rashad Bateman never made an effort to go up and get it. Defensive back ends up getting the interception. You could almost instantly see on Jackson's face the disgust. I don't think he's trusted Bateman since then.
I don't know if he doesn't trust him or what, but right now they're not connecting. I mean, the balls are not even close. Like the one that Jonas was talking about, I mean, he threw it and it was way out of bounds. And that was the one, you know, was it back shoulder? What was it? Because it was an awful throw. So Lamar still needs to improve upon that deep ball throwing.
We can go back to the AFC Championship game. Bateman was wide open.
Yep.
Isaiah likely had three guys around him. He threw it to the guy that was triple covered and threw a pick.
Yep, no doubt.
In the end zone. But Rashad Bateman, you know, he was doing well week one at training camp. Lamar's back, and all of a sudden he isn't again. Do we need to be Columbo or Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out? We'll come back. NFL lunch. Big injury possibly with the Chargers. Stay tuned for that. Definitely a big injury in Tennessee with the Titans. So hang tight. And then we're going to hear from Andrew Voorhees and John Harbaugh. American League East Report 115. Joe Noga talks about the Cleveland Guardians. His thoughts on what they did at the trade deadline as they're trying to hold off the red-hot Kansas City Royals. And Minnesota looks like a playoff team, too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.